Thank you for joining me. You are listening to Real Conversations with Your Wild Sister. I'm Janelle Buckley, your host. Let's get wild. Possible bad language in this podcast. Sorry, not sorry. When you ask people, how are you? Do you genuinely want to know how they are? How do you feel when they respond with, not good? What's your response? So, Harmony, what is your response when someone says, not good?
I feel bad for saying it, but my initial response is kind of eye-rolling, depending on who the person is, which is bad because I want to be open for people to talk to me, but...
Yeah,
sometimes,
me too.
Sometimes, I don't know, some people are always not good.
But and don't you think, do you ask people how they are as a polite introduction?
That's what you do. Some people. It's hard. It's a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, this is like the one thing I think everyone hears more in their life than anything else, which is, hi, how are you? Good, thanks. Good, how thanks. Are you? Good.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we say every time.
I know. And even sometimes you say it a third time. Hi, how are you? Yeah. Good, thanks. How are you? Good, thanks. How are you? Oh, awkward because you're not even.
That's because we genuinely don't want to know how someone is. Because exactly. If we did, we'd look at them. So today something actually happened that is in keeping with this theme today, which is talking a bit about postpartum weirdos and what it's like to have all these changes in our emotions and mental health. So today I had...
another oversharer.
Yeah, two actually.
Which always happens to you.
Yeah, but that's actually not what I was going to say. I was going to talk about that woman at the toilet block. So yes, I was at the toilet block. Yeah, I told Harmony this before.
That was lovely.
Our dog had stepped on an oyster shell, cut his foot. He was bleeding on his paw. The girls were doing wheeze and poos in the toilet. Tom was in the pram. And I had a woman ask me three times if I was okay. Are you sure you're okay? She asked me three times. On the third time, I kept saying I'm fine. And I actually was fine. No anxiety, everything was good, I felt good. But the third time she waited until she made eye contact with me, looked at me and said, are you sure you don't need any help?
It makes me smile.
Yeah. And I looked at her and said, no, honestly, I'm fine. Yeah. And she was happy then I could see.
She believed your response.
Believed me, and walked off. But isn't that interesting? That was, and that made me think that's so true. How many times you say.
Yeah. That's a woman that's been through it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's somebody that knows that you may have been just trying to be polite, but you did need help.
That
but
was a
today
word.
Today you didn't.
Yeah, today I really didn't. I was totally handling it.
You had this.
But being polite is probably the main reason why asking someone how they are is a crock of shit.
It is.
Because you don't care. Most people don't care. And if someone does respond with not good, you automatically think, oh my God, chronic oversharer, attention seeker, don't have the time.
But it depends in which environment. Like if it's in a fast-paced environment where you're being served by somebody or serving somebody else, it's kind of not appropriate to say not good. You know what I mean?
Good
if
call,
you're
Harmony.
In a checkout and there's three people behind you, they're all going to roll their eyes if you say not good and start telling someone. But then on the other hand, is that just like a problem with society? Do we all need to listen to that person and not roll our eyes because that is their cry for help? They finally told a stranger, they're not a chronic oversharer. This was their moment of vulnerability.
Yes.
And me being the person serving them just is like, oh, here we go.
That's so true.
So it's hard.
Picking their moments. We're expecting people who are going through a really tough time to pick their fucking moment. Maybe they can't today.
But how do you distinguish between somebody that's just like an Eeyore, like always like, oh, not good. And somebody
Boss or friends.
Hi.
Or and Vanda. I mean, sorry, Vanda. Our sister Vanda used to answer the phone. And our brother says the same thing. She used to answer the phone every time sounding like something devastating had just happened. My God, Vanda.
Oh, that's so funny.
But I think she was just being dramatic.
Yeah, you just get used to it. I think with things like that, you start doing it ironically and then you can't stop doing it.
Yeah, we're just picking on you. We love you.
Yeah. So getting back to that question, what do you think when somebody says that to you?
It depends on what mood I'm in, which mm-hmm. is honestly, I think, fair enough. If you're yeah. busy and sometimes, like you said, it doesn't, it's not the right moment for the receiver to hear yeah. someone say I'm not good, then maybe that's just the receiver trying to deal with their own stuff.
Yeah.
But genuinely, when someone says not good, or I mean, that's our blanket word today, word saying not good, but anything yeah. when it alludes to the fact that they're not coping,
yeah,
I for sure am ready to listen if I can. Even when I have the kids and things are crazy, I feel bad for them. Even if you're
working.
Even if I'm working.
I've worked with you several times. Even if you can carry on a conversation in a busy cafe. If that person needs your attention, yeah. you're there.
But I often used to get in a little bit of trouble.
You do, by certain bosses.
Yeah. Mostly men who don't care and they're like, screw that bitch, Mario. She's fine. Yeah. And many more. But it's true. I think when someone tells me that they're not coping or they do the look, I think most people are quite intuitive, but I think we do, some turn it off, some turn it on. I'm always turned on my intuition because I don't have at the moment a big routine, so I'm not rushing to get many places. I don't mm-hmm. have heaps of appointments. None of the kids go to school yet, so I have that luxury to be there and listen to someone. And sometimes, but can I just say, I'm really good at getting out of a conversation if I need to.
Yeah.
I'm a pro at it.
You are. You've even sent me like tips yes. to get out of long conversations.
It's true. I think it's not that hard, especially yeah. when you have kids and a dog with you. You can make up so many reasons to escape a conversation.
That's true.
If you realize that perhaps a person that said, I'm not going okay, yeah. is being an Eeyore and maybe... I don't know. It sounds horrible to say.
It does. I know. I feel bad because if that's their moment, like
maybe they genuinely need help.
Reach out, talk to somebody is what we wanted this episode to be about. Yeah. And now we're kind of making excuses of how to get out of those conversations.
But I think it's because I've talked to so many people who, and we grew up in church.
Yeah.
And we met a lot of killjoys, a lot of people yeah. that were just needing to talk, and sometimes it wasn't productive. That's one thing that's really important for conversations. Yeah. As I've got older, I've realized that you either have productive conversations or you have completely the opposite. And yeah. a productive conversation with a stranger who's just told you that they're not good is maybe encouraging them just by what you know of them in that instance. For example, I have said to people like, oh, look at your dog. Where did you get him? I don't know, like segue, try yeah. and talk about something that I can see might make them happy. Yep. And as soon as they smile, I feel like, okay, cool. I've maybe been one moment in that person's day that they can smile.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even me. It was just me pointing out something in their own life that's actually good. And that yeah. happens to me often where someone will put do that for me.
Perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it also, okay, so we've talked a bit about how we cope with strangers when mm-hmm. we, you know, basically. What about a friend's family? How do we respond? How do you respond if a person in our family or a close friend of yours says that they're not going okay?
Straight away, I am there and I try to be that person that makes them feel okay. Like, as in, it's okay to feel like crap. Yeah. Not try and necessarily fix it all, but just be there in their sadness or in their pain.
Meet them where they're at.
Yeah, meet them where they're at and be like, that's okay. And yeah, I understand that completely sucks. Like, let's feel sad together in this moment, and that's okay. We can go there and sit with that. And then after we talk about that and I suppose validate their feelings, then I like to try and fix it. But I think my initial response with somebody that I care about is to straight away just validate how they're feeling and make them feel safe.
Yeah, loved. Safe is so important. Well, yeah. we talk about that all the time with our kids. If we yeah. can make sure our kids always feel safe and loved, then our job is pretty much done.
Yeah.
Everything else is icing on the cake.
Yeah.
We, so I've talked a couple of times in the last few days to postpartum women, which mm-hmm. we are both two postpartum weirdos.
Yeah.
We call ourselves weirdos because it is a weird time.
It's weird.
It's a weird time. You're not different.
Yourself.
No, you're
a different version of yourself.
Yeah, and in episode one, our introductory episode, we talked about how we feel so much more ourselves each day passing birth.
Birth, yes.
So it's quite not easy, but it's a little bit easier for us, I think, than some others. But recently I was talking to a friend who's, you know, struggling with postpartum. She's got a younger baby than both of us. Mm-hmm. And she made a courageous decision to go and speak to a counsellor about how she was feeling. And not just a courageous decision, but time. Because how many mums, even with one child, do you hear say, I just don't have time for me?
And you don't.
Yeah, and you don't. And it's really, it's hard enough to get an appointment to go to something that's a necessity or to go take the children to something that's important for them. But to be able to go, wow, I actually need to talk to someone.
About how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is courageous.
Yeah, especially because as soon as you start doing that, I feel like it's a can of worms.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden you're talking about something that happened to you 20 years before you had a kid and you're like, whoa, how, bitch, please, how do you know me? Why, I don't want to talk about that. It's awkward. That's why I've not been to a counsellor in years and years.
And it is true. I've been to two different ones and it's funny. They've both picked up on things that I thought that I was over and they're both like, no, like this is huge. Like you should not be over this and this makes...
And it's okay if you're not.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm proud of her for going to see someone.
Yeah.
What do you think about the outcome of that visit though?
Okay, so we've talked about this personally a lot of times when it comes to medications after like prescribed medications for say anxiety or depression or any mental health issue that's happened because of a change in your life.
Yeah.
So whether you've lost a person,
yep.
you've dealt with grief or whether you're postpartum or separation
or moving or
are you depressed and anxious? Yeah. Yes, you are. Yep. Are you angry and grieving something? Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Is the answer to go on an antidepressant or an anxiety pill? Maybe. But so many times, I mean, you'll get to know us. Harmony and I think if you can avoid any kind of prescription medication, we're all for that. We know that you can't always. We are. We are alternative.
Yeah. We prefer hot honey and lemon than
cold antibiotics.
Yeah. Yes. I was wanting to ask you, have you ever answered anybody honestly, like a stranger or a friend of a friend, when they say, how are you?
So probably, yeah, I have. I've definitely answered honestly to a stranger, probably not, maybe once or twice, and made a joke of it. So I think a lot
of
people joke.
Did you make a joke out of it after you were vulnerable and then tried to
My way of joking, pedal? Just in case anyone that knows me wants to ever know this, great, now I'm giving away my secrets. I will say, oh, I'm great, everything's fantastic, ha ha ha. Like,
sarcasm.
Yeah. So I probably do that even to strangers sometimes, but very rarely, like maybe 1 in 100 times someone says, how are you going? How are you? I genuinely say things like, I'm good. I'm tired. Like I might say something like that to friends and family. It depends on who they are, how they ask me, when they ask me.
Mm-hmm.
But often I'll say probably I'm just tired I'm feeling sad. Or I'm feeling hormonal or, I don't know, Luke's pissing me off. Because, you know, we talk about that stuff with people that care about us, our intimate relationships. The kids aren't listening. Yeah, I talk about that. Honestly.
So that's you're almost giving an out to your
every
emotions.
Time, for sure.
So
that's
you're
me.
Trying not to own it. You're trying not to be too vulnerable, even to your loved ones.
Yeah, I don't like crying in front of people.
Same.
Yeah.
We do it to each other.
I
when
know.
We finally open up after a big day. And like, I cried last night. You'd be like, I cried last night.
I know.
And we could have hung out 10 minutes before we
Harmony
cried.
Left my house. Yes. Harmony left my house one day. And it was so funny. I mean, it wasn't funny at the time. It was an hour after because she left the house and both of us literally burst into tears. She driving home, me sitting in my house on the couch probably.
Yep.
And we talked later that night and said, oh, that's hilarious, both of us. Not because of each other, just situational. I had Tom. You were still pregnant. So it was within that first 10 days of me having Tom. Yeah. And both of us were just
it's
so
intense.
Much.
It's overwhelming.
Postpartum weirdos.
But
weirdos.
Yeah. In each other's company at that moment, we were both pretending that it's fine.
Faking.
And talking about nice things. Even though we know each other probably more than we know anybody else in our lives, we still put on a little front while we're in front of each other.
Why do you put on a front?
I don't like to be vulnerable. I'm the same as you. I'm the opposite to a drama queen in that respect. Or yes. Like, I do not want attention.
No.
I do not want people to pity me or give me sympathy, because the moment that somebody gives you sympathy, that's when
waterfall.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. And I feel like, no. Build that wall back up, because if it breaks down, mm-hmm. it's like a dam wall, and like, not like a dam wall, but like a dam that holds
not
water.
A dam wall.
But like, you know, like a dam breaking its yeah. walls. And
you don't want that to happen
not
at
right
all.
Now. You know, no cracks. You need to pick your moments for breakdowns as a parent. Like, Stephen, life was so easy. I could have
I'm due to have a breakdown at 4 o'clock today.
Well, you have to schedule that shit in.
Yeah, before the block starts tonight. Yes. I can't be breaking down during that.
Oh, I used to love a good meltdown when I was single. Fuck, that was awesome. I used to just pack my car, take my dog, and like, I could move
Escape.
States. I used to call you and be like, yeah. Can I please move in with you again?
Yeah. Okay, what's happened this time? I want to be free.
I have a spare room. Yes. I'm leaving tomorrow with everything I own. I've quit my job. Yeah.
That doesn't sound like you.
You can't do that. You can't do that as a mom, parent. Yeah. So I feel like, even though I probably would have given the same response when people asked me back in the day, like, I definitely cannot have a breakdown now. You have to keep your shit together as a parent and have, I don't know, like mini ones like we do to each other, where we finally admit, yeah, this was really hard to, I cried,
yep.
I cried.
Yeah.
And then I feel better after it. Do you feel better after we admit it to each other?
Definitely. Mm. Definitely. It's hard when you, like we were saying about the opposite, where a stranger is vulnerable and we think can't be bothered, but probably mm-hmm. is that their one time?
And do they have a person?
No,
do
maybe not.
Do they just see that in us and they thought, this is my person that I'm finally going to tell?
They look like they care. And then we're like
rolling out.
I can't today. Not right now. I'm busy. Yeah. The block's on soon.
Have you ever heard that story? There was a man, I think it was in Sydney, and he would often sit on this one park bench on a cliff, and he said that I think it was something like 6 times he believed he had saved people's lives just by sitting there, and he believes that they had come there to
jump off.
And he just said, hey, how are you, or would you like to sit down? And
oh my gosh, goosebumps.
I got them doing. But yeah, I'd read that a few years ago, and then I'd recently seen it again. Somebody shared it, but strangers opening up. Maybe this is our moment that we have to not roll our eyes anymore.
No.
Even if it's in the checkout, even if we're aware of everyone around us.
But can I say that this is where I feel the judgment, my judgment come out. I mm-hmm. only roll my eyes at someone being open and honest if I flash back in my life and think of all the times that someone's wasted my time bitching about something in their life to me, when after the fact I can see that they've probably said that to the last 20 people that asked them, how are you? And so I have this learned response when it comes to that, which I don't do very often, but I do sometimes. So you asked me before, what's my response to when someone asks me, how are you?
Yes.
My response is to protect myself from sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like sympathy, but I do. It's weird. I think probably a lot of people are the same. You don't like when people don't feel for you, because that sucks.
That's so true.
But you don't want them to show you to your face that they feel for you, because that's where you become vulnerable, like you said before, that you don't like becoming vulnerable
mm-hmm.
if you open up about how you really feel. Yeah, I don't like sympathy. Mm. Makes me uncomfortable.
Is it the difference between like sympathy and empathy? So you don't want somebody to feel sorry for you, like sympathy, but you want somebody to
understand.
Relate to you and understand, like be empathetic towards
completely.
You. It's such a fine line, and I've only like, I suppose, recently in the last few years figured out the difference between the two and why they're so important. Yeah, I don't want sympathy. Don't pity me, but be there with me and understand me.
Yep.
And when it's time for my breakdown, maybe give me sympathy.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit.
On my scheduled breakdown.
Isn't it? And that's when I think as a mum too, you become a bit more empathetic / intuitive to when people do give you signs. So postpartum, when other women are going through a similar time, even when we look on Instagram and follow people that at the moment have just had babies, it feels nice to know they're joking about their baby not sleeping or they're joking about feeling exhausted, because we can relate.
Yeah.
And that's definitely, that makes it easier when someone asks if you're okay.
Mm.
You say, not really. Why are you not okay? You say why, and then they can say, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
It makes you feel not crazy, like you said in episode one.
Yeah.
Makes you feel hurt. Makes you feel like it doesn't make you bad. That's another thing that I get worried about. I don't know why, whether it's because I was raised in church, maybe, or because my grandparents and my mom are very staunch when it comes, like they try to pretend everything's fine, very old fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want people to think I'm weak.
Yeah.
I hate people. I want them to feel a little bit sorry for me if I tell them, if I'm ready to tell them I'm upset or hurt or struggling or anxious or maybe feeling depressed or hormonal. But if then they respond in a way that makes me feel like they're above me, oh my God, it ruins it. I suddenly feel like, fuck, I've just been vulnerable and now you're higher up than me in the food chain of life, you know. How to be a better person than me. You've got your shit together and I suddenly feel so worthless.
Yeah.
Does anyone relate to that? Is this my daily...
I totally do. And I had a little aha moment while you were saying that. And I feel like others would if they came from our upbringing, like being a counsellor, I think it all stems back. So we were both raised in, I don't know if you would want to say middle class, but definitely not consistent, like... with like income and everything, like it was never that.
It wasn't steady, not steady.
But we went to private schools. So we had to have this appearance of keeping up with the Joneses. And it's not like our parents ever told us that we had to pretend to be more wealthy or more together or more stable.
No.
But that's definitely something I did.
How you feel.
Yeah.
Without words.
Yeah. I wanted to pretend that everything was fine, just like how I perceived everybody else's life.
What about church though?
Mm.
Church, it definitely was like that for me. And I'm not in any way ever in this podcast going to bag out church or spirituality or religion or any of that or God. Mm-hmm. I have had some really wonderful experiences through church as well. But for my experience, when we're talking about this specifically, it was always about being together. You were allowed to have moments in church, and that was part of our family. Both of our mothers were involved in our church that we went to.
That's how we met.
Yeah. You're allowed to be vulnerable and ask for prayer, ask for someone to help you. But the second that you admit, say, a sin or something that you're struggling with, that's probably where it stems from. Then I suddenly feel beneath the person I'm talking to, and that sucks. I hate that. Yeah, but they're not meant to judge you, but you can feel it. You can fucking feel that judgment. It's like tar washing over you. God, the stories. But anyway.
Yeah, that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
I feel like that might be too taboo for some people to talk about.
But is that why we're here?
Yeah. To be real AF.
I was thinking about this the other day because I have postpartum, you have body changes, mind changes, all these things that we're going through right now. But it always stems back to a memory. So I don't know a lot about psychology. I've never studied it or counseling or anything like that. But I know that when something happens, it can trigger you or it can remind you or bring up something that you've either tried not to deal with or that you have forgotten even.
Yeah.
And so I definitely think when it comes to that part of my life, it was a big part of my life through growing. So teenager from pre-teenager, so probably even 10 was when I start, or 11, remembering going to church regularly to 22-ish. And that's a big part of your life growing up. And that's, so even now, I have flashbacks of moments where I felt weak, or I felt like I was being betrayed to be weak, or I felt like a failure.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
That was your environment, and that's definitely shaped the person who you are today. Yeah, that is, and it's hard. I don't remember much about church. I feel like we were there for a minute compared to you. Well, I was, because I moved away. But do you think that mental health is spoken about enough?
Well, now I can't answer that because I don't go to church anymore. Yeah. And I'm not involved. I have friends that are, and I can ask them, and I will.
Yeah.
When I was going, so, you know, a decade ago, a while ago, longer, it was sort of a say a prayer and it will be fixed.
Yeah.
It wasn't really, band-aid. Not everyone's like that and not everyone was like that. But I think a lot of people in an environment where you're praying to a God, so I'm saying that because obviously people listening might not be Christian, they might be something else,
yep,
or even atheist, I don't know. But when you're in that environment, it's sort of expected that anything that ails you is fixed by prayer, and if it's still a problem, it's your problem, you're not letting it go, or you're weak, or you're not trying hard enough. So it's, I so call condemning
bullshit on that, like, so for much. Sure, like,
yeah
that,
yep.
See, that's where all of yours stems from. Maybe that's why you come up with reasons before you even tell somebody, I'm not okay because of this and this.
Yeah, excuses or reasons.
You're not owning it and being vulnerable because you used to get in trouble for it.
Oh my God, yeah. And I don't even think, honestly, that I'll ever talk on this podcast about some of the things that happened to me through church. I thought about the other night when I was thinking about topics that are important to us that we think we might be able to help people with. There are some things I just don't even think I want to talk about.
Yeah.
And certain people whose names, if I say, I might vomit. I don't, I have so much, I feel hot right now. I feel thinking about a little bit. Again, not in any way bagging out a church or anything, because I know some people listening might fucking hate church and some people might fucking love church. Sorry for swearing, but it's like, and by the way, just so we know, anyone that doesn't have any idea about church specifically, church is not meant to be a building. It's meant to be a congregation, a group community of people. And guess what? Human beings are not perfect.
Exactly.
Human beings aren't perfect. So it's made up of a whole bunch of imperfect people. So
pretending to be perfect.
Yeah. So there is no way that in a church. There's no way that any of those people are even, most of them are probably admitting, yes, I'm not perfect. But when you put a bunch of people together who are, you know, I suppose it's like putting born standards and
feeling righteous.
And then you have one bad egg. I feel like in a situation like that, it's like a job, a workplace. If you have one person who's almost a sociopath, everyone else is doomed, because that person will do whatever it takes to get what they want.
Exactly.
And that happens in church. Hiring
to put as managers and people in charge, and then that trickles down and certain behavior is,
So in that regard, with all of talking about that, moving forward into postpartum or mental health, or asking someone, are you okay, how are you going, and the true response, my learned response in my life has been, there's always somebody worse off than me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I only lost my brother to cancer. Some people have lost 10 family members in a war. Like, that's how my brain works.
I hate that.
And that's,
I hate that that's how your brain works.
I know. And isn't that sad?
People that still say that to you, you know, in our lives, we have people that think like that. And I think we get along so well because we don't think like that. We can be with each other to sit with that pain.
Yeah. It's okay to have perspective, love. I think. It's definitely okay sometimes for someone to go, okay, chin up, Sunny. It's time to move up, move on. You can't dwell. I get all of that.
Yeah.
But it's also, there's a balance. And when it comes, I say it to the girls sometimes where, well, not sometimes, let's be real. I say it all the time. Some kids don't have food, eat your dinner. Some kids don't have mums and dads that are loving and kind. You should be appreciative. Like, exactly. I say it weekly to them. And you know, you've heard me. Luke says it a lot too. And part of it, I think, is a good thing because it reminds them how blessed and lucky they are. But at the same time, sometimes I might need to pull back and remember that I don't need to be constantly reminding them that.
Well, I don't know. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Did anyone say that to you when you were little?
I
don't remember.
I was just thinking that. I don't. The only thing I really remember is, you know, that person may have just had a really bad day. That person may have just lost someone or been diagnosed with a bad illness. And so don't respond worrying that they're acting weird to you or being rude to you. It could be,
don't take it
it's
personal.
On them, not you. Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was being told, you're lucky. There are way worse off people in the world than you. Like, suck it up.
Yep.
And I got told that from people in my family and people at school. So, and I think a lot of people get told that. I don't think it's uncommon. But it does make it hard to, I want to make sure that when we have those conversations with our children,
yeah,
that there's still a room, a moment in there where we say, but it's okay. Even if you haven't had something happen that's as bad as the girl sitting next to you, you're still allowed to feel pain because it's relative.
Mm-hmm. That old saying of do not like cast judgment on how somebody's reacting out of something, like a broken nail for someone is the worst thing that they've experienced, and the death of a family member is the worst thing you've experienced. They're both relative. If it's the worst thing you've experienced,
I agree. I actually, I want to say really quickly too that I have been very angry with people when I hear them talk about, this is dark of me, when I hear them talk about something bad that's happened to them or how upset they are about something and it's really consuming them. And I look at them and think, really?
Compared
come on, like, yeah. Like, and I know people that have been through way worse things than me and you're complaining about this shit.
Yeah.
Get over it. And I, but I also right now want to admit I don't think that that's fair because I do think it is all relative.
It's all relative.
Luke was the first person that actually mentioned that to me in a way that as a younger, like probably I think maybe a teenager, so maybe older, like 19, 20.
Yeah.
I remember him saying that he was sitting next to a friend whose parents had just split and he was crying about it and really upset. And he, Luke
and we'd
thought...
we'd already been through that.
That, let alone losing your father.
Yeah.
And Luke said, it, well, thought in his mind, oh my God, are you kidding? You're crying because your parents are split up. At least they're both still alive.
Yeah.
And you can see them.
Yeah.
But in that moment, I don't know whether or not maybe grandma or somebody mentioned to him, it's all relative, like that's his worst pain.
Grandma was
you can't compare. You can't compare your worst pain with someone else's worst pain because that's not the way it works.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, if it is the thing in their life that they're struggling with at the moment, it's real. That's why you should never be dismissive of postpartum blues, baby blues or depression, because you can easily think, far out. You have a supportive husband and you have money, you have a house, you have all these things.
A living baby that's in perfect health.
Yeah, and your body's fine and you, and you're okay.
And birth was fine and how do you complain about that?
Yeah.
How do you show vulnerability?
You can't be dismissive of anyone. If that's how they feel, it's how
that's
they feel.
How you feel. Exactly.
And it's okay and you work through it and you be there for someone. You can't, that's something you learn, I think, the older you get. It's something you can't really teach to a younger person or to even an older person, but someone who doesn't want to hear it.
Isn't that the worst when you get an apology from someone that says, I'm sorry you feel like that.
Oh, I'm sorry you feel
that
way.
That's not an apology. That's just paying me out for my feelings.
That's patronizing.
Yeah. Like you're not saying sorry for what you did that made me feel like that. You're
look,
just saying,
can I just say I'm the queen.
I'm sorry you feel like that.
I'm the queen at home. I've learned that that's my way to piss Luke off. Isn't that terrible?
Passive aggressive.
I'm not kidding. I've never been a passive aggressive. I'm aggressive. I'm Sicilian motherfucker. Like, that's who I am.
Throw your hands.
Yeah, I'm extreme. I'm like dramatic. So when, so I learned a few years ago that all I had to say to really get like frustrate Luke was to say, I'm so sorry that you feel like I'm being like this. And it works because he gets really cranky with me when I act like that.
Yeah, and he would be like me where we kind of go monotone. When when we're angry, we go really calm.
You and Luke are so similar in that way.
Yeah.
And quiet.
And then you fly off the handle.
I'm good at that.
Yeah.
And I can blame being Sicilian or that I love drama, but maybe it's just who I am.
It is.
It's okay. To go back to the question of today, which is what's your response when someone tells you they're not doing okay, they're not coping? What have we learned? What are we take away from this question, our answers.
I love that we've had this conversation.
Me too.
Because I feel like I've learned a lot about how I do react. I think I'm going to be more patient with strangers if they do overshare. Not that it ever happens to me. After you told me I have a resting bitch face, no one overshares. But maybe you can.
I'll be there with everyone oversharing while you're playing with my kids and protecting them while I'm busy counselling everyone for free. One day I'll get a qualification and charge them.
You will. I will definitely keep doing what I'm doing with my loved ones because I feel like I treat others the way that I would like to be treated in, yeah, validating how they're feeling if they are being vulnerable and sharing that they're not okay. If I ask them, how are you? I'm not okay. That's okay that you're not okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
A lot of people that I remember hearing someone say once that it's the people who don't ask for help, the people who seem happy that are the ones to worry about.
You need to check in on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just our culture. Our culture's dismissive of, we don't have time for it.
Mm.
So it's okay to be, to change that.
Yeah. So check on your happy friends.
Yeah.
And your sad friends.
Maybe they're actually just happy. God love them.
I know. Like today when the lady asked you three times, you were fine. You were actually fine, but she still checked on you.
And it was funny too.
I love that. Yeah. She waited for you to make eye contact.
Because what would happen if a woman, especially because I'm a woman, I can say it from my perspective.
Yeah.
If I wasn't okay and someone who looked kind and caring looked me in the eyes and genuinely asked if I was okay, I would probably start to cry.
Yeah.
Or it would be very obvious I wasn't. And then in that moment, that woman could have easily said, righto, let's see what I can do to help you.
Mm.
And she would have done that. And that has happened to me many times from older women. Yep. You know, as she walked away, she said to me, you're a great mum. You're doing a really good job.
Oh.
And I know. And as she walked off, that's when I had the realization that she was waiting to check that I was definitely okay.
Three times
she asked me. And wow. And that made me feel like I know for sure when I'm an older woman with grown-up kids and I see younger women with their kids, I know I'm going to be like that because now I know what it's like.
This will be one of those stories that we take what might have been an insignificant moment for her this morning. That's actually opened my eyes. And as an older woman, I hope to be her checking on another woman or even as seeing my equal somewhere else.
Yeah.
And both have kids or no kids. Just maybe ask that third time.
Yeah.
And it didn't offend you. It didn't make you annoyed.
It didn't make me feel like, go away. I'm fine. Yeah.
It's actually made our day.
We need to say that if you ever get a chance and you see a mom, especially when she's in these first, 7 years of child rearing, always encourage a woman that's in that position. I've been encouraged so many times when a woman, sometimes men, but it's mostly women because they've been there as a young mom, stay-at-home mom, that they say, or a working mom. I don't mean to discriminate. I just mean as in that she's in the thick of it.
We've been
And she's in the thick of it at the time. But we have seen men too.
Yes.
We've seen gorgeous men, but that's weird because we don't approach them because it feels inappropriate, but we probably should. That you need to just encourage them. The times when I've felt vulnerable that no one's asked me how are you going, I've had a person walk by, even in the middle of a big strided walk, to say, go, mama, look at you. You're amazing. And those little words just spur me on for the rest of the day.
It does.
A stranger looking at me with my kids saying, you're amazing.
Yeah.
What the hell? Why is it so hard for us to do that? Even to say you look great. I've done that recently where I say to a person who I feel like, I look at a woman and I think she made a real effort to look like that today, whether she's 78, 18, whatever age, I don't care.
Yeah.
And it sometimes feels really uncomfortable. But when I make the effort to say, even in passing super fast, you look really beautiful today. I love your dress. That makes the world of difference in someone's day.
I think it just comes down to validation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
I validate you. You're worth being here. Yeah. You're worth the attention. You just caught my eye. You're amazing.
Yeah. It's like
you're doing a good woman's job.
Way of yelling out the car window, like,
that's so true. Hey, got fast to go with that chick. That's so true. It's so true. But when another mum says to a mum, you're amazing, you're doing great, you're a good mum,
yeah,
that can mean more than her own husband or parent or friend at playgroup saying it to her.
Yeah.
A stranger noticing a person in that moment, whether you're a dad or a mum, can be everything.
So I think maybe to wrap up this episode, I'm going to quote the very amazing and wonderful Ellen DeGeneres when she says, be kind to one another.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to another episode of your Wild Sisters podcast.
If you would like to leave us a voice message, you can through the Anchor app. So just download it, leave us a message. We can include it in our episodes to come or answer questions you might have.
We'll see you next time.
Keep wild, girls and boys. You have been listening to a Your Wild Sister podcast. Thank you so much for joining this conversation. I hope that you get a lot out of it. I hope that you feel like you're a part of this crazy wild family. If you'd like to follow me on Instagram at Your Wild Sister, you can DM me, be a part of this conversation. Keep it real and raw. Keep it wild. See you next time.